أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our imam, please recite the salawat. In order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him, recite the second one louder. And in order for all of us to become his true companions and soldiers, recite the third one even louder. Before I begin what I had planned to discuss on this night as the majalis of Muharram, there's a very important note that I need to make for my brothers and sisters. This last week when I arrived in this country, one of the things that was on the news, and you could actually feel it, was the cold. The cold created problems in the railways and the tube, or underground or overground or whatever you guys call it. People had to travel distances that they usually travel in a few hours, and 14 hours sometimes. People are having problems over here because of the cold. When we started our majalis here in this place, for those who were here the first night, we were kind of cold in here. Alhamdulillah, that problem is resolved. But brothers and sisters, we're here in one of the first world countries with all the equipment there to be able to benefit us and make sure we're protected from the cold. The winter time has come, and there are a people that don't have the privileges that you have over here in this country right now. Very specifically, I'm speaking of the people in Pakistan. Some of you are from that region, you know better than I do. Some of you, and some of us who aren't. It's a pretty bad situation over there. Over the summer they had a flood. It caused a lot of destruction to the country. A lot of people lost their homes. A lot of the crops were lost. The country is in serious need of help. If we are here to commemorate the message of Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayh, we cannot allow this to go on and us do nothing about it. We are responsible. If brothers and sisters there are in hardship, we can't be all happy about life over here and kicking it under the heaters and the boilers and whatever you have over here. This is not right. We've got to participate in the hardships of our brothers and sisters. Got to help them out. If we don't, there's no point. We can just pack up and leave. There's no point in having these majalis if we don't want to practically take any steps. There are a few organizations brothers and sisters, sincere volunteers that are trying to put an effort together to, inshallah, be able to help the brothers and sisters in Pakistan. I don't know what happened. They had planned to bring in the boxes to circulate, because their plan was, they have buckets, I guess, this time. If you can take them around, please. They had planned for me to explain this, and then you all, when you're leaving, I told them, no, you have to do it right here in the program, because when people leave, they forget about it. We have hadith that says, when you want to do something good, do it right there. Don't take your time. Because shaitan is going to come around and convince you otherwise. So inshallah, the brothers and sisters, while these buckets are being taken around, inshallah, they can cast their donations. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy and by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, relieves these people, our brothers and sisters that are under hardship, from the problems that they are facing in Pakistan, inshallah. Recite a salawat, please. The movement and the revolution of Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi is obviously and very clearly not the only movement and revolution we have heard of in this world. There's plenty of other movements that have occurred as well. In history, there's plenty of them that we could name. Some of them that may have even ended very, in a way, violently, very similar in a way to the movement of Imam al-Husayn. There is a people in Yemen before the rise of Islam. They are Christians and they are trying to be forced to convert to Judaism. We know the religion of Christianity came after Judaism. Prophet Jesus came as one of the prophets of Bani Israel after Prophet Moses did. The religion of Christianity was the religion to have before Islam. Now, the government of Yemen at the time had turned Jewish. They wanted to convert everybody to Judaism. A lot of people did. Now, some of them were pagans. They converted to Judaism. Great, great for them. They were polytheists, they were mushrik, they converted to a divine religion, Judaism, alhamdulillah. But some of them had already converted to Christianity. What happened was, the government wanted to convert them all to Judaism. For the health of and the life of ulama, recite a salawat, please. With your permission, we shall continue, inshallah. Recite a second salawat, please. These people in Yemen that were Christians and the government had turned Jewish, the government wanted to force them to accept Judaism after being Christian. They refused. They were warned a few times. They didn't comply with what the government was trying to force them. What happened? They ended up being attacked by the government. They were all slaughtered and burned. This is mentioned in the verses of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Buruj. This is the story that is talked about. These are a people that they stood for their cause. They were willing to give their lives. And they did, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did. But I had to tell you about this. You never heard of this in history. Very few of you had heard it. What are the effects of this? There's many other revolutions and movements that have occurred throughout the course of time in history, in the recent history. There's plenty of revolutions. You hear about the Russian Revolution, the French Revolution. There's plenty of revolutions that you've heard about. But what are the effects of these revolutions? Can we compare that? None of these revolutions have had, and none of these movements have had the effect of the movement and the revolution of Imam al-Husayn, salamullah. The movement of Imam al-Husayn had effects that we can say not very many other revolutions had, if we can name any. I'm trying to be on the safe side here, in case I'm not aware of something or I'm miscalculating here. Imam al-Husayn's revolution and the movement is amongst the top ranking revolutions in terms of the effects that it had. It seemed to have ended in the battlefield of Karbala. However, it didn't. The revolution of Imam al-Husayn ended up overthrowing Yazid and the entire Umayyad dynasty. This was the effect of Imam al-Husayn's movement. After what happened in Karbala happened, there were several revolts that happened because of what Imam al-Husayn did. The first one was the movement of the Ta'ibin from Kufa. Others occurred. Gradually, the Umayyads lost their power. Imam al-Husayn was the cause of this. But the more important cause, or the more important effect, brothers and sisters, of the movement and the revolution of Imam al-Husayn, salamullah alayh, that we can very easily claim, is the very existence of Islam. What I mean by that is not Shia Islam, brothers and sisters. I very seriously mean this. That if it wasn't for the movement of Imam al-Husayn, salamullah alayhi, Islam, not only Shia Islam, but any form of Islam, maybe the name would have remained, okay. But even Sunni Islam would not have remained the way it is today. Is the effect of the movement of Imam al-Husayn, brothers and sisters. Every single one of us owe our religion to the Imam. What is it that makes 72 people on one day, half of a day, engage in a battle that has such long-term effects that saves this religion completely? We've been commemorating the movement of Imam al-Husayn, the Shahada of Imam al-Husayn for years. What's so important about this? What's the trait, what is the quality that we find in this movement that is found less or none of it in other movements that causes this movement to have this effect and other movements don't? Recite salawat. The movement of Imam al-Husayn, the quality, the most important quality of it that we can mention, and we can say, this is the reason why this movement has had such long-term effects, and is still remembered, it is not forgotten. The cause of it is that it was because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was lillah. It was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No other cause was involved. This is important for us to understand. When something is done for Allah, it has this effect. It can have this form of effect. The movement of Imam al-Husayn had nothing to do with anything else. It was only and only and sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only the leader of this mission, but all the individuals that accompanied the Imam. This is not the only Imam that we have, brothers and sisters. This is not the only battle that is fought by an Imam. This is not the only time that an Imam goes with his companions and fights. The Holy Prophet did so. Amir al-Mu'mineen did so. Imam al-Mujtaba did so. But when you look at the companions, when you look at the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the different battles that he fought, they're not the same as the ones in Karbala. The companions of Imam al-Husayn in Karbala are at a quality that, as the Imam himself says, you are the best of companions. The quality of the entire movement, every single individual that is there only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no other purpose for them being there. When they moved from Medina, some of the people that went with the Imam were thinking, okay, something may happen, the Imam may actually go ahead and set up a government or something, they may get a piece of that. On the way from Mecca, the people that went with Imam al-Husayn, some of them may have had those intentions. But on the night of Ashura, when Imam al-Husayn sat the people down, the people came, the people of Kufa came to start and begin the battle. This happened on the day of the 9th. They came to fight the Imam. The Imam saw them coming forward. He sent Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas to them. See what they want from us. Al-Fadl came back and said, what they want is they want to begin the battle. The Imam said, go and tell them, I want one more night. I love salah. I love prayer. I love to speak to my Lord. I want to recite Quran one last night. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas went and told them. They allowed that one night. That night came, Imam al-Husayn turned out the lights, according to the reports. He told the companions, the pledge that I had with you, I want to raise that. Forget about the oath that you had with me. Leave. They want me. According to some reports, don't even just go yourselves. Take my women and children as well. You all leave me. They only want me. I'll stay alone. I was thinking about this actually. If this is true, that the Imam actually told them, I am raising and I'm lifting this bay'ah. You had an oath with me, I'm lifting it. So you went with your pledge. You came all the way over here for me. It's acceptable. From now on, I raise it. It's okay. You can leave now. I was thinking of why that may be. I thought maybe the cause could have been this idea that I'm speaking of tonight. He didn't want people to be there for the wrong reason. In some tribal societies and communities, and in that tribal community, the pledge was something very important. Sometimes keeping the word was very important. People might have been shy. Since I pledged that I would do something, to go against that would be very difficult for them. Imam says, I don't want you to stay because of that. Leave. Some say some people left. But the people that remained, they are there only and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know there's nothing there. There is no victory in the physical sense of the word. Of them possibly having the chance of going to Kufa and setting up a government and getting a piece of that. There is no chance. The only reason is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala staying with the Imam and giving their lives. Giving one's life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important, brothers and sisters. The importance of doing what we do, making decisions in life, not based on what I desire, not based on what people like, not based on anything else, but only because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very important quality that we need to learn from Imam al-Husayn and the school of Karbala. I want to recite or read to you a couple of verses in ahadith. One dimension of this idea, brothers and sisters, of doing things for the sake of Allah, one of the dimensions is looking for Allah's pleasure. That being the goal in our lives. Some of the reports say, brothers and sisters, you've all faced hardship. You've all faced difficulty. When you're right in the middle of the difficulty and the hardship, it's very, very difficult to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there's nobody around and one feels like, okay, they're losing everything, yeah. People can remember Allah. We have this in the verses of the Holy Quran as well. When you feel like there's nobody can help that can help you, alright, you feel all alone, you call upon Allah. But when there's a lot of commotion, you're arguing with somebody, you're fighting with someone, and people are beating on you, how do you feel? Do you feel like remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Imagine your imam. After all of what's happened on the day of Ashura. From the morning he has watched the companions, the loyal companions, one by one go to the battlefield. He's seen all of that. He's seen his own children, his own son go to the battlefield. He's dealt with thirst from the morning until dhuhr time. He's had to fight. He is in pain. The words they hear from the imam is this, Ilahi ridhan biqadaik. O Allah, I'm pleased with what you determine for me. Whatever you bring upon me, I am absolutely pleased with that. Can you even try to comprehend that? In our regular hardships, we're not able to do that, brothers and sisters. The imam, with all that pain, this is the goal of his life. They say when the imam was approaching the last moments in this world, with all the wounds and suffering all those wounds, the face of the imam would glow even more. He's happy, he's meeting his Lord. Rida, doing things for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That being the only reason why we choose to do what we do. This is very important, brothers and sisters. There's a hadith narrated from one of the Ahlul Bayt. The person is Fath. He says, Ya Fath, man arda al-khaliq lam yubali bisakhatil makhluq. The person who is trying to please the Lord, why would he care about what the creation thinks of what they do? A lot of times what we do is because of the creation. We're worried about what people think. The reason sometimes we even do the good things is because of people. A lot of the cultural issues that we have that prevent us from making the proper decisions, why do we do that? Because of people. Why do you care? The pleasure of Allah is important. Ridha Allah is important. That's the lesson to learn from Imam al-Husayn. The whole of the Muslim ummah, everybody was saying, why are you doing this, Imam al-Husayn? They were even willing to take out their swords against the Imam. And they did. But the Imam didn't care. This is a very important lesson to learn from the Ahlul Bayt in general. Making decisions based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. The pleasure of Allah, not the pleasure of the makhluq, not the pleasure of people, not the pleasure of the family. When it conflicts with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of times we give preference to family, to society, to what they think. We're even willing to change Islam because of what the society around us likes. It's very shameful to hear interpretations of Islam, interpretations of the verses of the Quran, based on what the West likes. Who cares what the West likes? Interpreting clear verses of the Holy Quran. Just think, what is going on? Why are these people doing this? The verses of Hududullah, the penal law of Islam, the ones that are mentioned in the Holy Quran, are very explicit. As-sariqu was-sariqa faqta'u aydiyahuma. It's very clear. A thief, whether male or female, chop off their hands. We have hadith that says the four fingers. It's very explicit. We have people in this country that say, oh no, this was back in the days, 1400 years ago. Don't take the explicit meaning of the verse. Take the essence of the ruling. Allah just wants to say, inflict some form of pain on this person who's engaged in theft and burglary. So in this day and age, instead of chopping off their fingers, this is barbaric in this day and age. You don't chop people's fingers off. So what do? Give them a fine. They stole 500 pounds. They have to repay that, plus 2,000 pounds. Put them in prison. This, that, the other. Don't. And the other penal laws, we can't. We don't have the right to do that. Just because people don't like this? Where are we going to go? What direction are we taking? I don't know if you guys have this problem over here in the UK or not. But in some parts of the US, we have this problem very seriously, actually. In California, for example. The verdict that we have in regards to... Now, this is not a topic that I'd like to discuss here when we are commemorating Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayhi. But sometimes you have to say things you don't like. We got to clarify things. The problem of homosexuals. Amongst the Muslims and the Shia, we're having a little bit of a problem there. It's difficult to express that we are against homosexuality. It's absolutely wrong. It's disgusting. This is what Islam says. We treat them very, very harshly. This is what we have in Islam. We're not going to be afraid of that. There's a campaign, I don't know if you know about that. Somebody's committed a sin, adultery, and they're going to be stoned, according to the Islamic rule, of course. I don't know if they're going to actually do it or not. There's a big problem about it over here in Europe. People willing to change interpretations of giving the false and the wrong interpretations of the religion, of the verses of the Holy Quran, the ahadith, because people don't like it. This is absolutely wrong. We've got to do things for ridha Allah. It's the pleasure of Allah that is important. Recite salawat. Another verse that we have in regards to this is Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم. This verse is a very interesting verse. It's actually related to us, to people who are supposed to be awaiting and anticipating the coming and preparing for the coming of the Imam of our time. It happened, of course, obviously this verse is revealed during the time of the Prophet. It says, look, if you people turn away from your religion, Allah will bring a people that have certain qualities. Firstly, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ love. I love them and they love me. Recite a salawat. The believers have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts. I don't want to talk about this too much. That's the first quality. The next one is أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. When it comes to believers, they don't take matters, they don't make life difficult. It's okay, let person do as they wish, even if it's not the way I like to do things. They're soft when it comes to the believers. Very soft when it comes to the believers. But when it comes to the kuffar, very harsh. أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They strive and fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one that I want to use, وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They're not afraid of what people might say if I do the right thing. A lot of times we don't do the right thing because we're afraid what others are going to say about this. It's a serious concern. Some people don't wear hijab. They know it's right. Why? Because of the fear. What friends or what this guy... We want to do something. We want to have an activity. We want to show that we're Muslims. We all, some of us, unfortunately, have got the fear. We're afraid. Sometimes afraid of non-Muslims, sometimes afraid of some of Muslims. The important thing shouldn't be that. The verse emphasizes what they're looking for is not what other people think. They're looking for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. The last verse that I want to give you is Surah Saba, verse 46. This is a very interesting verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this verse in this way. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل إنما أعظكم بواحدة أن تقوموا لله مثنى وفرادى. The verse says, tell, okay, it's advising the Prophet to tell the believers. I'm giving you one advice. What is that? That you stand for Allah, mathna wa furada, in groups and as individuals. When you're alone, don't be afraid. When you're small in number, don't be afraid. Don't think, what is one individual going to do? When it's the right thing, stand up and do it. Lillah, for Allah. Isn't this something we get from Imam al-Husayn? Stand up. A lot of people in Kufa didn't, because they were afraid. What's our number going to do? They told them there's a an army coming from Sham. That was all baloney, just like all the stuff that goes on in the media here. They scare us off with their media. It was all baloney, but they said this, that there's an army coming from Sham. They say, okay, what are our numbers are gonna? What are they gonna do? Some people started leaving Muslim ibn Aqil. Others remained. The ones that remained, they gradually started going off as well. Why? Because they thought of this. Our small numbers are not going to work. They forgot the verse of the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. What are you worried about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs everything. He's responsible for everything. He does everything. He's just asked you to do your share. If you do your share, He makes it happen. Imam al-Husayn did his share. He gave his life. Afterwards, Allah did the rest. He destroyed the Umayyads. He kept the religion alive with the movement of Imam al-Husayn. Don't be worried about how many you are. This verse, I remember the teachers were saying, one of the ulama repeated this verse many times. That alim was Imam Khomeini. In his classes, he would advise the people with this verse. Stand. Umu lillah. Mathna wa furada. And he practiced this. He practiced this. When he began his mission, there were very few. He's in Qum, some mujtahid that has a few students, said a little something. He wasn't afraid. And brothers and sisters, this, if one has got this in them, looking only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives you strength that is incomparable to, nothing can scare you. I heard this story about Imam Khomeini from many reliable sources. It's a very famous story of Imam Khomeini. When they came to take him to prison, when he said those words 15 years before the revolution succeeded, it was a general from the army that came to take Imam Khomeini. At that time, Imam Khomeini didn't have the following that he did towards the end, before the revolution succeeded. He didn't have all those people. There were a few. This is only a mujtahid. They're coming to pick him up to take him to prison. And you're the army. You're ruling this place. The entire region, the Middle East, was ruled by the Iranian army at that time. Refer to your history. This is a general coming to pick up Imam al-Khomeini. They say he came to pick up Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini is being taken to prison. But instead of Imam Khomeini shivering and being scared of what they do to him, this general is afraid. He's shaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He wills. He's in control. We do things for Allah, He's going to do the rest. This is one dimension, making sure our intentions, what we're looking for, is only and only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second dimension of this, doing things for Allah, that makes an action have the quality or start to develop the quality of what Imam al-Husayn did, the effect of what Imam al-Husayn did, is the sincerity, ikhlas. The purer the intentions and the action is, the better the effect is going to be. Ikhlas. This is something that we should all be worried about. A lot of the problems that we have, brothers and sisters, in our communities, as individuals, let me start there, as individuals, the ikhlas, the sincerity, the sincere intentions, when we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray, where are the sincere intentions? What is our intention when we are facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we even aware of what we are doing? When we fast, the rest of the... When we go to Hajj, it was funny. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the tawfiq to go to Hajj this time, this year for the first time. In Mina, you know, one of the rituals that we're supposed to do is to shave the heads. The men are supposed to do that. At least according to the view and the verdict of some of the maraja. If it's your first time going to Hajj, according to some of the maraja, you've got to shave your hair. Some of the maraja say that's not wajib, even for the person who is going for the first time. You can do taqsir. What is taqsir? You cut a little bit of your hair. Alright. Went to Mina. It's very difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to find a good blade. Sometimes it's difficult to find the right person to do it. It's a bloodbath sometimes over there. Now, with all the difficulties there, some of the people said, okay, Ayatollah Sistani, for example, has an ihtiyat wajib to shave the head off. So, since it's difficult and it's an ihtiyat wajib, we refer to another mujtahid on that. Whoever the mujtahid may be. And that other mujtahid says taqsir is enough. So they did taqsir, they did what was wajib on them, and they came to the hotel. And okay, that's the end of their responsibility. They did what they were supposed to do. What was wajib according to that mujtahid that they followed on that particular issue was to cut a little bit of their hair. Then a few hours later, I see they've shaved bald. So what'd you do that for? You like to shave bald? The reason why they did, you know what they told me? They said, if we go back to our country and people see us and we haven't shaved our heads, they're going to see, oh, what kind of a Hajj did you go to? You want to shave your head off because of people? When we go to Hajj, what is our intention? If I can go on in stories in Hajj, it was an interesting experience. Watching people. I don't know what people go there for. In Mina, there was fights about this little area you want to occupy for sleeping for a few hours only. What are we there for? Sincerity, brothers and sisters. Are we aware of what we're doing? Sincerity of the action when it's sincere, that's when it's acceptable and it has the effects that it has, like Imam al-Hussein. The activities, brothers and sisters, we have social responsibilities. The social responsibilities that we have, when we want to practice them, they should be done with sincere intentions. The reason why we have so much differences is because the intentions are not sincere. Let me read a hadith in regards to this. Recite a salawat. It's from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhim. And the companion asks in regards to the verse of the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. In Surah Mulk and maybe other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have created life and death so that we test you, which one of you is better in action. The companion asks about this verse, about the interpretation of this verse. قال, the Imam says, ليس يعني أكثر عملا أحسن عملا, better in action. The Imam says that doesn't mean quantity. It doesn't mean who prays more. It doesn't mean who fasts more often. It doesn't mean how many times you go to Hajj. It doesn't mean do you have a tasbih in your hands doing your dhikr. It doesn't mean that. It's not about the quantity of it. وَلَكِنْ أَصْوَبُكُمْ عَمَلًا. Which one has got better actions in quality? What is aswab? He says, إِنَّمَا الْإِصَابَةِ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ وَالنِّيَّةُ الصَّادِقَةِ. Having quality actions is having the khashyah, the fear of Allah in one's heart, and when we perform actions to have sincere intentions. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alaykum ya أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that the angel brought down the revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. The angels used to come to you day in and day out. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم صلى الله عليك أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my oppressed Imam. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My Imam that was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. Sallallahu alayk. On the day of Ashura, Imam had many companions, brothers and sisters, many good companions that were all loyal to the Imam. The Imam had Zuhayr that showed his loyalty, Habib, Sa'id ibn Amr, others, Hurr ibn Yazid that came and joined the Imam, they all showed their loyalty. The Imam's own children, Ali and Al-Akbar, showed his loyalty to the Imam. But there's one character in Karbala that is the symbol of loyalty. This one, this individual has showed his loyalty in multiple ways. The commander of the battlefield of Karbala, Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas,
What did he do to prove his loyalty? On the day of Ashura, they say, Shem, may Allah curse them, came over to the campsite of the Imam. He said, O children of my sister, Abu al-Fadl's mother is related to Shem, run away. Says, my sister's children, come to me. They say, Abu al-Fadl was sitting in the presence of the Imam. You gotta learn from this loyalty. He didn't even respond to Shem. Imam al-Hussein said, although he's fasiq, go and see what he has to tell you. Abu al-Fadl goes forward to Shem. Shem says, I have a letter that gives you security. Abu al-Fadl says, may Allah curse you and your letter. I have security, but the son of Fatima al-Zahra is not given security. He didn't accept. The battle started. They were fighting. The companions went and fought. The children of the Imam, Bani Hashim, went to the battlefield one by one. The reports say, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, on a few occasions asked the Imam, it's difficult for him to see, all these people are going, and he hasn't had a chance. He asked permission to go to the battlefield. The Imam, according to these reports, tells him, Ya Abbas, Ya Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, you're the backbone of my army, you're the flag bearer, what would I do without you? On one occasion, they say, when Abu al-Fadl came to the Imam, the children were around. Sukaina and others were around and asking, oh father, we're thirsty, we need water. The Imam tells Abbas, if you want to go, go and bring some water for these children. Abu al-Fadl sees his chance, he goes towards the Sharia. The enemy wants to come towards him. What can they do to the son of Haydar? This brave man, they stand no chance. He makes his way to the Sharia, gathers water for the children of the Imam, turns back to go towards the Imam. The call comes from the army of Ubaidullah. If the water gets to the campsite, we won't be able to win this battle. No matter what happens, you have to stop Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. They hide behind whatever they can. Some say there were trees there. There were palm trees there. They hid behind them. Abu al-Fadl comes with the water towards the camp of the Imam. They come out from behind. They attack Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. One of the enemy from behind strikes the right arm of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Wallahi in qata'tumu yamini. والله إن قطعتم يميني إني أحامي أبدا عن ديني. This is not gonna stop me. I still have hope to get the water to the camp. He holds the water in his with his teeth. He fights with his left arm. He continues towards the camp. Another mal'oon from behind strikes the left arm of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. صلى الله عليك لا إله إلا الله. Sayyab al-Fadl still had hope. He moved still towards the tents of the Imam. He continues thinking, Sukaina is waiting for me. Ali and al-Asghar is waiting for this water. The women are waiting for this water. He continues towards the tents. But there comes a time that Abu al-Fadl loses hope. One of the enemy throws an arrow towards the water skin. They say, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas changed course. I can't go back to the tent. How can Sukaina see me and I don't have water for her? He loses hope, and another of the enemy strikes Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas on the head. Imagine, every time you want to fall, brothers and sisters, you keep yourself from hitting the ground hard by holding your hands in front of you. Imagine Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas has no hands to protect him. He hits the ground. They say they heard a call, say, Ya Akha, Azrik Akha, Ya Hussein, I want to see you one last time. Come to me, O brother. على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. Remember the shrines in Karbala. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. والله we ask you from the bottom of our hearts by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt that you hasten the return of our Imam. والله we ask you by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt
that you enable us, each and every one of us, to become a true companion of our Imam.